Being in a family with a butch dyke mom, a remarried dad, a stepmother and her boyfriend down the street, and some other mothers, our vocabularies can get confusing.
One of my moms is not a citizen. If she could get married, she would be.
One of my moms is paying health care out of her own pocket, but at the same time, I really don't like the idea of having the government approving or denying whether your relationship is okay.
There's so many other issues.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Canadian Parliament preps for a marriage melee, a New York judge gives the nod to same-gender nuptials, and kids of queers share their family values. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 5th, 2005. The Canadian government this week introduced in the Parliament its bill to open marriage to same-gender couples. The actual text is very simple, stating four clauses. This act may be cited as the Civil Marriage Act. Marriage, for civil purposes, is the lawful union of two persons to the exclusion of all others. It is recognized that officials of religious groups are free to refuse to perform marriages that are not in accordance with their religious beliefs. For greater certainty, a marriage is not void or voidable by reason only that the spouses are of the same sex. The much lengthier preamble emphasizes constitutional guarantees of equal treatment, cites the opinions of the Supreme Court of Canada and provincial courts, and asserts that nothing in this act affects the guarantee of freedom of conscience and religion. The preamble closes with the declaration, "In order to reflect values of tolerance, respect, and equality consistent with the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, access to marriage for civil purposes should be extended by legislation to couples of the same sex." The bill also contains consequential amendments to eight existing federal laws. Perhaps the most significant would redefine spouse in the Divorce Act from its current heterospecific phrasing to either of two persons who are married to each other. The thousands of gay and lesbian Canadians who've already legally married in the wake of provincial court rulings have ironically not yet gained the right to divorce. Another consequential amendment removes gender specificity from the law that prohibits marriage between relatives. Others serve to ensure full recognition to same-gender marriages for taxation and other financial purposes.
An extended debate on the bill is expected to begin at its second reading in the House of Commons in mid-February, a debate the government hopes will end with its being sent to a parliamentary committee formed specifically to review it. But the largest opposition party, the Conservatives, have vowed to bring forward every possible amendment and use every device we can to fight the bill. And while the bill is expected to pass, it could be a very close vote. Enactment requires the support of at least 154 members of Parliament, but a poll of the Commons by the Globe and Mail newspaper found only 139 MPs willing to declare their support. 118 declared their opposition. About half of the remaining 49 did not respond to the survey, with the rest either undecided or unwilling to state their position. None of the parliamentary parties is unanimous on the issue, but the biggest division is within the ruling Liberal Party itself. Some 25 or 30 Liberal backbenchers oppose the government's bill and are free to vote their conscience, while the 38 Liberal cabinet members are under party discipline to support it.
The Tories are arguing most strongly that religious freedom is not adequately protected despite the government's repeated reassurances. While no church could be forced to perform a marriage ceremony for a gay or lesbian couple, Tory Justice spokesperson Vic Toews cited some situations in which religious beliefs have clashed with equality rights in various provinces. Participation in a church-based marriage preparation class, rental for a wedding of a space owned by a religious group, and a job requirement that civil marriage commissioners perform same-gender marriages despite their personal religious beliefs. In fact, 7 of the 67 marriage commissioners in Newfoundland, more than 10%, and 6 of the mayors, have chosen to quit their jobs by a provincial Justice Department deadline this week rather than perform marriages for gays and lesbians in the latest province to allow that. At least one had unsuccessfully sought a religious exemption.
While Canada's federal leadership moves legislation to establish marriage equality, the U.S. administration continues to move to prohibit it. In his State of the Union address this week, Republican President George W. Bush said,
"Because marriage is a sacred institution and the foundation of society, it should not be redefined by activist judges. For the good of families, children, and society, I support a constitutional amendment to protect the institution of marriage."
While that federal constitutional amendment has been reintroduced, it is not expected to advance soon, but many U.S. state legislatures are working to amend their own state constitutions. This week, the Kansas House of Representatives gave 70% final approval to a proposed amendment to both exclude same-gender couples from marriage and to restrict the rights of marriage to married couples. The Kansas Senate had already passed the measure, which will go before the voters in early April. Although a similar proposal last year fell short of the two-thirds majority required in the House and Senate, November elections ousted some of its opponents in favor of supporters who made the difference.
Also this week, the South Dakota House affirmed by 80% a proposed constitutional amendment to define marriage exclusively as between a man and a woman. That measure will go next to the state Senate.
Despite its heavy momentum, the movement for constitutional amendments against same-gender marriage is not a total juggernaut. In the Idaho Senate this week, one such proposal fell 3 votes short of the required two-thirds majority, despite 60% support.
But as in Canada, it's the courts in the U.S. that have led the way to marriage equality, and this week a New York State trial court ruled for it. New York's first legal decision to declare it unconstitutional to deny marriage to same-gender couples came from Justice Doris Ling Cohan in a lawsuit brought by Lambda Legal on behalf of 5 gay and lesbian couples against New York City for denying them marriage licenses. The judge found the heterosexual requirement for marriage violates both the U.S. and the New York State constitutional guarantees of due process and equal protection under the law. She wrote that the gender-specific language of New York's domestic relations law shall be construed to apply equally to men or women. But she also stayed the effect of that finding for 30 days to allow the defendant, New York City, to take action. This ruling has no force beyond the city limits, and for that reason, the New York State Attorney General's office has indicated it will not get involved, despite Republican Governor George Pataki's belief the judge was wrong. But an appeal is being hotly debated within the city government. An appeal has already been filed in another similar New York lawsuit for marriage equality, in which a state trial court upheld the exclusion of same-gender couples from marriage. At least 3 other New York state judges have also upheld the existing law, including one this week in Ulster County. One conservative news source went beyond the now standard activist judges rhetoric to label Ling Cohan in its headline, "Aberrant Judge."
An appeal of a recent ruling on U.S. military recruitment was urged this week by 80% of the U.S. House of Representatives. Recently, a federal appeals court struck down the so-called Solomon Amendment, which allowed the government to withhold federal funding from universities that barred military recruiters from campuses. A number of schools had done so because the military's ban on service by open gays and lesbians violated their own policies against on-campus recruiting by discriminatory employers. But in the wake of the 1995 enactment of the Solomon Amendment, and particularly when threats of its enforcement were stepped up after Bush became president, schools heavily dependent on federal funds were forced to cave in. The 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals found the government was violating the school's free speech rights, but the House resolution called on the Bush administration to further appeal that ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Portugal's Social Democratic Prime Minister Pedro Santana Lopez is trying to make marriage equality an issue in campaigning for elections later this month. In a televised debate this week, the PM took a strong position against opening either marriage or adoptions to same-gender couples and repeatedly challenged the leader of the opposition socialists, José Sócrates, to take a stand. Socrates refused to do so, saying his party had chosen to take no position because there is not yet a consensus in society in Portugal. He claimed Santana Lopez was seeking only to create a distraction from economic issues. But the prime minister called the marriage and adoption questions the issues of modernity, citing the marriage equality legislation introduced by the socialist government of neighboring Spain. Like Spain, Portugal is heavily Roman Catholic, but it remains to be seen if Santana Lopez's strategy works. Current polling predicts he'll be ousted, with the socialists taking more than 45% of the vote and a majority of seats in the parliament, while his Social Democrats take less than one-third of the vote, and their coalition partner, the Popular Party, less than 5%.
And finally, the Netherlands Immigration and Integration Minister Rita Verdonk this week unveiled the government's draft bill to require some prospective foreign immigrants to be tested before their arrival on their understanding of the culture there. They'll be given a videotape to aid them in what's estimated to be 250 to 300 hours of preparation for taking the test. The official prep video includes a wedding of the sort that the Netherlands was the first nation in the world to legally recognize, because one of the test questions is, can two men marry? Citizens of most of the first world nations, including Japan, can win exemptions from having to take the test, and maybe that's a good thing. The marriage question might be a breeze for Canadians and European Union members and perhaps New Zealanders, but it could be a tough one for Australians and Americans.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 5th, 2005, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Janice Ian.
I'm B.D. Wong.
I'm Kate Quinton.
This is Judy Shepard.
I'm Armistead Maupin.
This is Dorothy Allison.
My name is Billy Bean.
This is Margaret Cho.
This is Greg Louganis.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren.
This is Edmund White.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
This is Ian McKellen.
I'm Amanda Burst.
I'm Bruce Valanche. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
This Way Out is supported by tax-deductible charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. It's you, our listeners, who keep this program on the air, and you can get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs as a bonus. For all the details or for audio cassette subscription information, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. Thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com.
The current furor over same-gender marriage has focused the spotlight on queer families. But generations before the politicians, the professionals, and the media took notice, children were already growing up in diverse family structures. Khana Jaffe-Wald and Nava Etchalom are the producers of an independent radio project by and about kids of queer families, which they call Queer Spawn Diaries. They talked to over 20 young adult queer spawn to get the real experts on queer family life to speak about their own experiences. They started with what may seem to be a basic question, but for many queer spawn, it can be a complicated one.
Who's in your family?
Well, that's a big question.
I lived with my mom and my dad until I was in 7th or 8th grade when my dad came out, and then I just lived with my mom for the most part.
I normally start by prefacing it and saying that I have sort of a complicated or alternative family situation.
In San Francisco, it's me and my gay mom living in communal households, eating vegetarian food, living on food stamps. And in Wisconsin, it's my dad and a stepmom in a four-story house living in Podunk, Wisconsin.
Who I consider to be in my immediate family right now is my mother, her lover, Julie, and myself, just the three of us.
The people I claim are my biological mother, my biological father, my father's wife, Jan, and my mother's wife, Michelle, my mother's ex-partner, who is also Jan, and her current partner, Carol.
My family being an interracial family, not only do people see two moms walking down the street and kind of be confused, and when I go up and introduce my mother, Daphna, they don't believe her. When I was younger, they thought that she was my nanny at the park.
And then I have many various siblings and step-siblings and ex-step-siblings, and then their kids.
My parents were divorced when I was 3 or 4. My mom joined up with another woman, and then my dad got involved also with a woman.
I start with the caveat that my family is a little complicated. Then I sort of launch into it.
I mean, like I said before, it just involves a lot more explanation.
From clinical psychologists to 17 magazine, everybody seems to be studying the sexuality of kids from queer families. The big question is always, how will they turn out? However, the answers provided by these queer spawn about the various ways their queer families have shaped, enriched, and challenged their relationships go much deeper than the question implies.
When my mom came out to me at 11, I started asking questions about what is love and what is sex about, what is a commitment, what is marriage, and then I started to answer those questions. I think that, you know, the way that I travel in a pack still has been very much connected to growing up with a gay father, but again, a gay father who was really active in this thing that was larger than a nuclear family.
One of the most visibly impactful issues of my life has been being in the media when I was 15 and they came back and did a follow-up article. The question was, you're 15, you're in a relationship, okay, what's your sexual orientation?
Do you identify as third generation?
As a third generation queer?
Mm-hmm.
I do identify as genderqueer and as queer myself. So my grandfather was gay and my father is trans or genderqueer. So it's actually a pretty queer family.
There is that kind of uncomfortable thing about, like, now that, like, I know what kind of goes on in the bedroom, like, for me, I don't even want to think about, like, my parents or, like, that sort of thing. I mean, it's really gross. And yet they are examples of what my relationships could be in a world where there aren't gay or lesbian relationships on TV or in mainstream that I think are acceptable.
My criteria for what makes a good relationship aren't the same as a lot of the people in who were my peers. They are quick to rule out what I'm not so quick to rule out.
I would still feel exactly the same way I feel if I didn't have lesbian parents. But if I had been raised outside the queer community, I probably wouldn't identify as genderqueer. I probably wouldn't know the word genderqueer.
The people for whom queer family is home are the experts, but their voices are seldom heard in the hubbub about same-gender marriage.
I think a lot of things about gay marriage.
When my mom and Joyce first got together, by the second year they were together, I got them a lady-lady wedding topper. And I was like, could you please just decide to stay together forever? Could you do something about that, please? Because that's what I choose.
I am so excited for all of my friends and my mother's friends who have waited for a very long time to have the state recognize their union. But in addition to that, I don't think state-sanctioned unions should exist at all.
We were testifying that we were children of gay parents and that we had great, healthy childhoods and everyone should be able to get married. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
My family has specifically had some problems with it. One of my moms is not a citizen. If she could get married, she would be.
My moms and I have talked about it, and they sort of feel like for them it's less of an issue because they feel like they've been married for so long that to have a ceremony now would almost invalidate all the years because they've been together over 10 years, so it feels strange to them to get married now.
The reality of it is that one of my moms is paying health care out of her own pocket, but at the same time, I really don't like the idea of having the government approving or denying whether your relationship is okay.
I think that gay marriage is one issue among hundreds of thousands, and it's kind of a lame one. You know, I'm not putting down the advocates that are for gay marriage. It is one of the things that's important. there's so many other issues. I mean, there's like hate crime legislation on the table right now. It's on the table and no one is talking about it.
One interesting thing about being gay is that you don't have any preconceived notions about what a relationship ought to be like, because there's no, you know, there's no 50s sitcoms where, you know, one half of the couple does this and one half of the couple does this, in the way that there is for straight folks.
Finally, I waited till May 17th to go to the Cambridge City Hall because that's when everybody could get their marriage certificate. They were doing a poll. This woman from the Globe was running through the line and she said, "Where's your partner?" She was asking where we're from. And I said, "Actually, he's at work." And she said, "You're straight?" And she grabbed the writer and she said, "We have a straight woman." And the whole line kind of gasped and looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "My father's gay and I'm getting married at Club Cafe." And they just burst out laughing.
Because I am the child of a lesbian, I think about it in terms of the children. As important as it is for those couples to be validated, it's really, you know, a hindrance in terms of raising the children if they can't be married. And, you know, when they adopt, there's sort of all these things that make it so much harder to protect your family and take care of your family when you can't be legally recognized.
Well, I'm pro-gay marriage as much as I'm pro any marriage. Is how it really comes down to.
Queer Spawn Diaries producer Nava Echalom grew up in a language-obsessed queer family in Philadelphia.
In order to understand my family, you have to know about the policies of the house I grew up in. You can only sing one measure at the dinner table. There are no long phone conversations allowed in public space, and you have to use your language carefully. This one included "Don't say shut up" to your sister. But it also meant, watch your language.
Well, will you tell the story as you can, as you are best able?
I just feel like it would be nice if I could tell a story that I remembered more clearly, because basically this is going to be fiction at this point.
Well, to the extent that fiction feels to you representational of something deeper and true,
oh, wow,
that's okay.
That is so, like, how shall we say, deep. But let me try.
I think it's just postmodern.
Yes.
We use our words precisely in my family. We don't say, "I hate you," when we mean, "I feel mad when you tell me I sing badly, because it triggers my insecurity about my bad sense of pitch." Some of the words we use to describe ourselves, though, are not in the dictionary. Being in a family with a butch dyke mom, a remarried dad, a stepmother and her boyfriend down the street, and some other mothers, our vocabularies can get confusing. We love language, but it fails us consistently.
Well, Rebecca currently has a girlfriend named Davia and an ex-partner named Elisa.
I asked my younger sibling to describe our family.
Elisa has a live-in boyfriend named Steve. And Rebecca also has another ex-partner named Julie, who, depending on the day of the week, is probably also our mother. And she has 5 children, 3 of whom we grew up with.
Anybody who's gone to elementary school has had an assignment at some point to make a family tree.
We have this father, and our father has a wife named Stephanie.
You may not remember it, but I guarantee you all the kids from queer families who are in your class do.
Yes, I did it!
When I was 10, the family tree assignment erupted into screaming and crying in my house, when I didn't include my mother's girlfriend at the time, Julie.
Can I interrupt? That's not what happened at all. I was doing the project at home. It was like a really big deal project. I showed it to you. I had to bring it into school and everything. And you looked at it. You were like helping me figure out whether it was like ready to hand in.
This is so terrible.
I know. And you were like, "Bubby's on here. Claire is on here. But Julie's not. Why is that?" And I was like, "Of course, I can't put Julie on there." And you were like, "Why not? You have Bubby on there. She's Saba's partner and Julie's my partner and neither of them are your biological family." You kept asking me. You kept asking me and asking me and I was like, I didn't know what to say. I just was like, I can't.
She wasn't exactly my stepmother. We made up the name Green Bean. She was our Green Bean.
Yeah.
But that wasn't on the diagram.
And then I like admitted to you that that's why I wasn't putting Julie on the chart, and we just both started crying.
The family tree assignment is neat. Everyone has a place, a name, and an assigned role. Part of growing up in queer family is coming to reconcile the fact that your family is real with the lack of words for your family, which is real too. I figured out, of course, that my family could be different from what sitcoms and homework assignments told me. It turns out that so can how we relate to each other. Who has what kind of power, who makes rules, who leads songs, and who invents rituals.
What's your hierarchy of parents?
My hierarchy of parents is like this. I have mother number one,
mm-hmm.
Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
And she's big mama number one.
Okay. Our family has been made invisible over and over again by the failure of words to tell who we are. That might be why it matters so much to us to be good at words. to know them well. Then they can't sneak up on us and erase us.
And then I have mom number three, which is Julie. And then...
like, those three people you just put in a hierarchy, Ima and Ely and Julie, are, like, completely different people to us. With no use in hierarching, really.
Well, but there's no title for anybody.
Well, we call Julie a green bean.
Yes, but when we're communicating with other people...
then they think we're aliens. Anyway, if we don't have a queer family, I don't know who does.
We have one. We get points.
Yes, many we points. Win.
Queer Spawn Diaries is a documentary project produced by Hana Jaffe Walt and Nava Et Shalom and supported by Queer Spawn across the country. To contact the project or to hear more from the Queer Spawn Diaries archives, visit www.queerspawn.org. Queer Spawn Diaries is fiscally sponsored by Mountain Meadow on the web at www.mountainmeadow.org.
Mama loves me, yes, it's true. And my mommy loves me too. Mama and mommy love each other. Aren't I lucky to have two mothers? Daddy loves me, yes, it's true. And my papa loves me too. Daddy and Papa love each other. Aren't I lucky to have two fathers? Mama loves me, yes, it's true. And I love my mama too. My mom is a single mother. Aren't we lucky to have each other? Sister loves me mighty fine. Her skin's a different shade than mine. And so is my baby brothers. We're a grand bouquet of rainbow colors.
And so is my baby.
Small, but this I know, I'm bathed in love from head to toe. And even now it's clear to me, there are lots of ways to be a family.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Hana Jaffe Walt and Nava Et Shalom contributed program material. Thanks also to David Swatling and J.D. Doyle. Deidre McCullough sang Mama Loves Me, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime, online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. It's you, our listeners, who keep this program on the air, and you can get some queer history and top music and movie reviews on specially produced audio CDs as a bonus. You can also support this program by visiting the This Way Out benefit auction area at alternabid.com. And to be sure you don't miss a week of This Way Out, you can subscribe to high-quality audio cassettes of our program. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WERU Bangor and Blue Hill Falls, Maine, KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, Tasman FM Nubina, Tasmania, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.